Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, August 8th, 2019. It's 9 o'clock a.m. We're gathered for the County Administration Workshop in the Board of County Commissioner Conference Room. Commissioner Fowler and Morgan are present today. We're going to start with transit under Department Business with a purchase order with Complete Coach Works for the purchase of 2 35-foot transit vehicles. And then we'll go into item number 2 is the Rural Community College Amendment number 14 to the agreement for the funding and management of Josephine County Transit System. Morning, Scott Chansey. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. The first item up is we put out an RFQ or request for quotes to buy two new diesel buses, and they're not actually brand new. They are actually rebuilds of 2001 35-foot Gillig buses, and they basically take them down to the frame. So the result of that is the quote came back, I think it was $317 and change a piece. We have approximately $730,000 available. This came in less than what we expected, and if you look at the purchase requisition, I actually added another almost $75,000 on there as well for things that might have gotten missed when I spec'd out the vehicle. So things such as some of our electronic equipment and things like that. So the total purchase price per Complete Coach Works is $635,000, and I'm budgeting, or I'm asking for $710,000, the authorization to spend up to $710,000.
To get it outfitted with the Wi-Fi and...
Yeah, I expect all of that, but based on my past experience, there's always something that'll come up or something that I've forgotten,
right.
Or an upgrade that'll have to happen. So, for example, on the electric bus purchase, we got a automated securement system for somebody that uses a mobility device. That add-on was like $12,000, but I thought it was very important. So rather than have the driver physically put down ratchet straps and attach them to somebody's mobility device, this is an automatic system where a person backs in, they hit a button, an arm comes down and secures their mobility device. So happens a lot quicker. So there's always little things like that, so I just try to prepare.
Yeah. I'm curious, how, with these being 2001s, would that fit in with all the cap and trade restrictions that we almost went through this year and requiring everybody to get diesel vehicles newer than 2009, was it?
Yeah, I think right. That changed to just affect the Portland Metro.
All the agreements they swapped out at the end, all those months of negotiations were pulled. I know they didn't pass it, but it was one of those things.
That was a separate bill from cap and trade. That was the diesel bill.
Okay.
But anyway, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. There's a couple different requirements or regulations out there that impacts this, but they use new brand new motors.
Oh, the rebuilt would comply, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
There is a thing in there that you can use older motors that don't have the DEF or diesel emission fluid, and you can pass those and get those in because they are older and it's not considered a quote-unquote new vehicle.
I just don't want to see when the legislator comes back next year and
then we have two buses we can't use.
Correct.
No, that won't happen.
Okay.
Super.
So these are, just to put this in context, a new vehicle, if we bought a brand new diesel, it's probably going to cost $420,000 to $30,000. So these are a little bit cheaper, and we can actually get them quicker. So a new vehicle is going to take me anywhere from 12 to 16 months to see delivery. These we'll see in about six to eight. So
they warranty the engine for a while?
They warranty the engine. Yeah. It still meets the federal requirements of a 12-year service life or 500,000.
Is that the same as a new one would be?
Just like a brand new. A brand new vehicle. I've toured the factory. I've sent my operations supervisor as well as the fleet maintenance manager for the county. They've both been down and toured the facility. So between the three of us, we think we're pretty good. This is the same company that is also doing our electric buses as well. Mm-hmm. Essentially, that's the same thing, but instead of a diesel motor, those have electric.
I'm fine with it going forward.
Yeah.
Oh. For the packet's sake, I'm curious about in the purchase requisition, then it looks like a screenshot of Josephine County online something, but it splits over two pages. I'm just wondering and it's a nitpicky, that's that page and the one after. I'm just wondering if there's a way to get those down on one page or something so we don't get grief from the public. What was that?
Yes, and what that is the screenshot from the RFQ from the county website. And I didn't realize it went to the pages. So okay. that was basically proof that I went out for an RFQ. So we were compliant with that. What I actually need is the signature on the purchase requisition, as well as the purchase order. That would be all that I would pursue. So yes, what you're looking at there is just this proof that is put out online. Complete Coachworks was the only agency that quoted or gives the quote.
At least we got one. All right, so that'll move forward into a weekly business session. So next week we are at Williams at 5 o'clock. I don't know if you want to give something. Are we having... Dan's not even going to be there to speak on your behalf. One of us could do that and to keep you from traveling out there. Otherwise, well, we'll need to work out those details. Okay. Otherwise, we're in Williams at 5 p.m.
Okay.
So, at the elementary school.
Okay. We'll work out those details one way or another.
Dan's going to be in the opening ceremony of the fair and left us to have the weekly business session. So.
Oh.
But if you were able to prepare something for us to say real quick,
I definitely
we could cover you and you wouldn't have to head out there.
Okay.
All right, so the next item is the RCC program, and there's an amendment. And is this just extending the agreement with RCC?
This extends the agreement with RCC, even though it states it for the funding and management of the Josephine County Transit. So they don't do any management. They don't fund the entire program. What this is for our $30,000 agreement, and this is an extension. This is a continued amendment that we do year after year. It's for $30,000, and what that does is RCC pays us that, and then they issue a term-specific sticker to students. The students put that on their RCC ID, and then they're allowed to board any of our services for free.
I'm just wondering on just as a note for us, this is a $30,000 contract that's a renewed contract. It's not a new IGA. I don't know that it's required to go before the full board versus have the liaison sign in an amount under the liaison amount. I appreciate it coming to us and that we're publicly saying we're continuing to do that at RCC, but I'm just curious if this is one of the things that for that process workshop work group, Annette, that we're looking at. Is this kind of stuff of saving staff time of having to come to admin to put it on a weekly business session when it's not a new IGA. It's a continued program that's been budgeted. It's a 20-year program that we've been doing. And can it be signed by a different mechanism to save staff? So this is one I think.
Or consent calendar without a presentation here?
It definitely can go to consent calendar, but I'm wondering if in this case it couldn't have just simply gone to liaison.
Right.
That's an extended one. Or, you know, or does it because it's a contract... The board is authorized certain contracts to be signed by liaisons and others they want to go through full. But this is one of those things that we need to be looking at just for
and this,
saving time.
And this one in particular, it's nice to get the word out there that RCC is promoting this program. But I see what you're saying in general.
As a contract amendment versus an original IGA, just something to keep in mind. But yeah, it definitely can go to consent calendar and... If we can figure it out so you don't have to go out there, we'll do that. So, but if not, we'll get a carpool going and we'll borrow a transit. And
yeah, I just brought it because this is we just do it every year. So I'm like, okay,
there we go.
Contract forward. So if there's a better mechanism to make sure this agreement gets signed, then I'm all for it.
Well, I think it's an example of one of those things that the department heads have been saying. Does this have to go through six meetings before we get it approved?
Yeah, and do you have to attend all those?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cool. Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome.
Perfect. Thanks again.
Okay, up next is Public Works. We got a contract for Public Works project number SDP 1920 Azalea Drive pavement overlay between Public Works and CPI. More? You're just not giving Azalea Drive a break, are you?
Right, right. This is kind of foreshadowing, as I was here about 3-4 weeks ago talking about the exchange. for the funding for this project, but just here we are now with the actual contract. So we had just two bids on this, as we suspected may be the case. Knife River came in at 421, 422, and then Copeland's winning bid was just under 404. So that was a good spread. You're within 5% on a bid this size. We felt good about that. Came in lower than we thought. It was a bit of an interesting one to bid, only because the mainline paving is great. They can blast down the road, nice big wide road, and really make some good time. But this particular stretch has about 45 driveways on it, so there's going to be a lot of follow work on the end of it. The map I gave you, just to give you kind of a bigger, broader sense of the loop we've been working on, really you're talking about that Merlin Road all the way into town, and then taking Azalea all the way back in, catching up a river. This is our most heavily traveled route in general for the county. You know, all these roads are over 5,000 ADT, and they have enough freight traffic too, to where a standard chip seal is just not going to get in there a lot of the time. So when you pave like this, you're building more structure back to the road. You're hopefully widening it a bit too where you can to catch more shoulder and blow it out. Azalea's got bike path on both on the sides. Merlin Road has bike path, so it's also, you know, a critical multimodal area for us. So at the bottom there, I just kind of got it color-coded for us. We're kind of chugging along with this. My guess is we will complete that Azalea Upper River, the remaining piece, over 2 years. It'll probably be about 1.8 miles each of the next 2 years after this one, which will get us to Upper River and then back into town. And again, this money is the STP money, so this is basically a federal exchange through ODOT that for 94 cents on the dollar that cuts those federal strings. Once we've got that money, it has to be used for a surfacing type plan like this. So chip seal, asphalt overlay, you could even do things like guardrail. But this has been our kind of our typical bread and butter for those funds. One other thing to point out, this is going to have safety edge pavements. So they actually bevel the sides of the asphalt to make a better transition. So if a bike or a car happens to go off into the shoulder, it's beveled as opposed to a drop. So just kind of one more little add. But we're excited about the number that we got. We know Copeland's going to bang it out. We weren't sure if it would be this year or next spring. If you had good eyes, you'll see that the contract term ran through September of 2020 potentially, but we heard that they did not get a bigger bid up out of Union Creek that they thought they may, so they've got everybody ready to go as soon as we have this signed and a notice to proceed, and they'll get it banged out before school starts.
Thanks.
So that's my story.
Pretty good story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything before it goes on to the weekly business session? Alrighty.
Nope.
And not that I'm not dying for another trip to Winter, but if you'd like me to write a summary, I'd be happy to write a summary for you.
Yeah. I don't see why we couldn't. Though Williams might appreciate you being there, because you know citizens are going to bring up roadside spray, so
right,
it actually
right.
might be worth
just
having you there.
Right.
I am happy to if you'd like me.
Because Dan's not, it might be worth having.
It'd be nice
there.
Having another target out.
Not to throw you under the bus,
right.
But yeah.
Right. After the meeting,
we
yes.
might ask you to join us in the
under the bus. Is that
finish my item and run? Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
All right. If not, we'll work it out this week.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Next up is
Thanks,
parks.
Rob.
We have two items. First is County Opportunity Grant Program Agreement COG 19-009 between Oregon Parks and Recreation Department and County Parks for White Horse Park Renovations Phase 1. And then we'll move on to the second item, which is Boating Facility Grant Agreement for Hydraulic Modeling and Analysis for Chinook Boat Ramp. So starting with White Horse Park.
Wow. Back to White Horse Park.
Yay.
This one is a $35,500 grant that was awarded. Interesting enough, we weren't quite ranked high enough to get our full grant request, but they had some money left over that hadn't been awarded, and so they chose our project and asked if we could accept the lesser amount. So we said yes. So you'll see in the agreement that they rewrote the agreement that'll be signed so that it's not the entire White Horse Phase 1 project, but rather the money is being matched for the plumbing and the water holding tank specifically to go with the project.
Mm-hmm. Did they give any reason why we didn't qualify for higher?
There's
or
a lot.
It's
a competitive grant.
Okay.
It's a competitive grant. They're all ranked with scores, and then they rank all of the final scores, and you're somewhere in the ranking, and if you're high enough, you get funding. And then when they run out of funding, they've got to stop awarding, and then they just had that cushion left over and chose us. So that's a good thing.
How are we as far as on the match and the portion that we would have to come up to complete it, or what is the other funding mechanisms to...
I feel at this point that the entire White Horse Park project will be funded. So whether I need to take all of my property reserve funds in order to do that, or we continue to receive grants, it is funded. Do you want me to stop?
I got to pause, only because that's our quorum.
Yep.
So... Welcome back. Go ahead. So you were saying.
So the entire project we're saying is a $1.42 million project. That includes a 10% contingency to be safe. At the same time, there's things that we can do to reduce the cost of this project if push comes to shove. One of those would be going with a prefab CXT restroom shower building instead of doing a custom build on site. So we're looking at that right now to say, hey, if we need to start reducing the cost in order to make the entire project happen, what are those cuts?
Okay.
But at the same time, we haven't gone out to bid yet, and so the numbers right now are just an estimate based on engineering. So as soon as we can get that bid for construction, which we're just kind of dominoing different processes right now, we're on archaeology study, and then we have to cut 304 trees, and then we are preparing right now to go to bid for the project. Then we'll have a hard number and then be able to play with, do we have to substitute anything or...
Yeah.
Do anything like that. We still have a $305,000 grant to sign with Land Water Conservation Fund, and then I believe we have two or three grants pending currently today with another one going in for $15,000. So as of today, with the funding that we have, it would take about $130 being transferred out of my parks carryover budget, which I have and would be able to do, and then it would take around $800,000 out of my property reserve funds, which the fund is just about there right now, and of course we have more tax foreclosed sales coming up in the future. This is the top priority project for our department. We receive 75% of our funding through camping. This is a great opportunity to continue to bring in more revenue through camping.
What's the impact on those 304 trees coming out? Because one of the nice things about camping at White Horse is the shade.
340 trees? It is an order.
Or my dyslexic number.
Yeah, you're fine. It's a lot of trees, but at the same time, there are a lot of trees out at White Horse.
Yeah.
The trees that are coming out are only necessary in order to do the new pavement, the road system, the RV sites up top, as well as the new shower restroom building.
Okay.
There's still going to be a lot of trees
left. I mean, that's
left.
One of the prime things of what makes it so nice is the canopy.
Absolutely. And to be honest, in the middle of the RV park, yeah, there might not be a lot of shade for a while, but trees do grow back. The buffer around the entire park's there, and so, you know, your 12 o'clock hour will be the worst. But
yeah,
with any construction, it's necessary.
I hear you.
If they're able to save trees, of course, we will.
What do you guys do with the trees you cut out?
This all has to be planned. Right now, we've said that we're doing it in-house, and we would hope to sell since it's in bulk amounts, but we'll just have to see what the timber market is doing.
Is it something forestry can assist with? Or, I mean, I know does that make it more convoluted? Or?
I'm sure Dave would be happy to assist where he can, at least with knowledge and pointing me in the right direction.
Yeah. I mean, if we have, we've talked about that with Public Works and, mm-hmm. and the roads with parks, that if they're paving something and there's a leftover, go pave a stretch of park, help out, you know.
Yeah. Right now, everything's pending on an archaeology study that's over at Legal to finalize the wording so I can then push it out to bid. Once we get the bid, they'll do that test. But as soon as that's finalized, it sounds like they're working on it right now.
Okay.
Very good.
Any questions or thoughts?
Nope. Pretty exciting, and thank you for adapting when the funding changes.
Yep. Got you.
This one, again, will be one of those ones I question. It's a $35,000 mark. It's under the scope of what a liaison could sign for. And do we have a mechanism of, in a grant like that, can we do that?
We can, sir.
Yeah.
Legal had said it must come here.
Okay.
FYI.
But
maybe it's just part of the bigger project.
Well, I think that's what we need to clarify is why and when here and why and when not, you know, that kind of stuff. So
sure.
We want to keep having those conversations of keeping things moving that we can while still making sure the public's getting the information.
Of course.
Okay. So, yeah, we can move that forward. How are you feeling about presenting on it?
Oh, out in Williams?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So far, we're only throwing Rob under the bus. So.
Yeah. As long as Rob's coming, I don't think anybody else has to.
We'll just give everybody's reports to Rob, and he could present every department. That'll work. He'll love that. Okay, unless you would like to make a trip to Williams.
I would prefer not to with how busy things are at work.
Got it. Kay. Yes. I'm maternity leave employee. I forgot. Yes.
Who's on maternity leave?
Allison. Yes.
Because Mercedes didn't come to our business meeting to receive her
safety award. We recognized her
she
yesterday.
Was beaming in her chair as she watched the video.
Was she? Would you mind taking that to her?
Absolutely.
Thank you. With our thanks. We had Wendy
your
sitting up here as
was,
well.
Yeah, your response is great. And she humbly accepts this. All right, well, thank you so much, Sarah. We'll get that move forward. Chinook. And then the next one is hydraulic modeling and analysis for Chinook. Interesting.
Yes. So Chinook's boat ramp is one of the unsafest that we have, paired with it being a very small parking lot, and cars are continually parking out in the street, sometimes to evade fees, but for the most part because the facility's full and you have nowhere else to go. And so Chinook is our next boat ramp that needs help. And so with this agreement, they do all in-kind service of hydraulic modeling to see where the water's going to go. And they're looking at, can they move the boat ramp safely? What would it look like if they did? And then expanding parking lots. So basically with this engineering kicks in also through Oregon State Marine Board, so that at the end of this, they would tell us whether or not they recommend doing anything at all to the boat ramp. And if they do recommend it, then they would have engineered plans so that we can then apply for the next round of grant funding to proceed with the actual build if everything lines up like it should.
So who do they hire to do the project?
Oregon State Marine Corps does everything in-house. They have an amazing crew, and they are great to work with.
They remove the old boat ramp if it comes to that.
Well, what it would be is so we own the boat ramp, but their purpose is to provide boating facilities and to control that for the public. And so with this, they're just coming up with plans, and they're going to recommend whether we do or don't do something at Chinook.
Right. When people register their boats annually, this is what it's paying for.
Yeah, so if they do recommend it, then we'll end up eventually with plans to say, here's what we recommend, here's what it would look like. And if we like that, then we just can county go back to them, of course, with a grant agreement to, or a grant request to say, well, we like it too, but we need your money, and then fund it from there.
Great. That would be great. It is an interesting access down there.
Yeah,
there's been some safety issues over the years with people putting their boat in and the boat
taking off
without them.
It's right at the top of that riffle, yeah.
It's the one we get the most comments on.
Yeah. How about neighborhood complaints? I know you had a public forum out there. Have you noticed any deterioration of complaints, or is it about the same level of activity in that park that's not supposed to be there and so on?
I'm going to say that it is the same as it was. As far as it's not multiple complaints, it's not heavy complaints. It is one or two people who have very strong feelings about they bought next to a park, and now, of course, it is like an extension of their backyard. And so no new complaints there. It's just the same stuff.
Okay.
As a result, what we've talked about is eventually we will look at putting in a gate there, but it's peak season right now. We can't look at it. The gate alone is going to cost more than $1,000. That's more than I make at that location in a year. And so the public has to understand, especially the neighbors have to understand, without buying an annual day use pass, they're contributing $0 to that park. And so it does cost us money to maintain it and to put upgrades in that park. And I have to make sure I don't pour too much money into one facility when we have 20 different locations to run. Overall, we haven't seen a lot of illegal activity. I think that a lot of the things that we hear about after-hour activity are just an accumulation of years and years and years, not necessarily something that's happened in the last week or two.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get that through.
Great, perfect. Thank you.
You are welcome. And then the next one is human resources with a request for evaluation approval form. And be excited.
Woo!
You guys are cooking through stuff today. Good morning, commissioners.
We've got a lot to get done today. I think that's the thing I find every day is there is not enough hours. I have people like saying, okay, where can I fit in? Okay, you're 11, you're 11:30. You're at 12:35, and yesterday and it got skipped entirely.
So I brought this form a month and a half or so ago to the commissioners, and you all had a request to revamp a little bit of the phrasings of the examples of how we classify the rate, the different categories.
To make needs improvement and competent a little more clearly.
So I worked with all the department managers. Some of them were responsible it's fine. I don't have any comments. And someone said, oh, you know, I think we could do A, B, and C. And we went back and forth with a few different part managers that were interested in helping make it better. And so we made it quite a few changes, really. Almost every category changed a bit. And the primary differential is to really the top category needs to show a pretty big differential, because most people aren't going to get a 5. That means you're one of the absolute best in the county at that particular thing.
And have no room for improvement whatsoever in that area.
There's always room. But by definition, you're one of the best in that category.
Yeah.
So we talked about, like, how would that look different? And so there's quite a few changes. I mean, in the big picture, it's the exact same form. But, you know, I think that the category explanations are a lot better.
I do notice it's still a 2-pager, but it's not a 3-pager. So this is good.
Well, that was part of the challenge is I like one sheet of paper.
Yeah.
And it's tiny font and a little box. And so how do you quantify it in an effective way in this much space? Because I actually originally asked my staff, here, give me some examples just so I can, and they're like, and so to be able to codify that down to just a short phrase that is helpful without having, you know, I've seen most other evaluations in other places, they're just long. They just are, and they want to enumerate what each thing means, and there's some advantage to doing that, but it makes it a bit cumbersome to get through it.
I am curious. An evaluation form like this where anything other than competent, which essentially, if you think of this on a 1 through 5 scale, everyone's going for a 3.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a 3, you have to write comments. So could there be a easy way out of just saying, I don't have time to do this. I don't want to make the comments. I'm just going to give somebody all 3 so I don't have to...
I would say no matter what form you use, if someone wants to be lazy in administering it, they can do that.
True.
But even within it, I said anything outside of a 3, or even if it is a 3, but you want to have commentary. Because sometimes I'll put something that overall they're where I want them to be, but even within that, there's something that I want to make note of. Because what the downside of this structure of a form is what... The weakness of this form is sometimes what people do is they don't give concrete examples of why they scored people a certain way. They just give a general statement. This employee's great, la, la, la. There you go.
And no employee appreciates that.
Yeah, it's just not very helpful.
No offense. I mean, and when you don't have it well and they don't give you a good example of how it's not going well, then how do you know what to improve upon?
Or even if you're doing good, why? What specifically, what, you know, so it's far more helpful if you give concrete examples. And some managers just, they don't. A lot of forms have space to write on every single category, and there's some weaknesses of doing that. You know, there's 100 different types of evaluation forms. That happens to be the weakness of this particular form, is sometimes people just go, eh, they're good enough.
Darren, you should know that before this form, or the one that this is replacing directly, we had, a 10 or 12-page evaluation that was all paragraphs.
Yeah, it was.
And duplicative answers in different categories, so you feel
cumbersome.
Oh, yeah.
That's an understatement.
Every time I've taken a new job, I generally don't like to make changes for a while because I want to see. And
what
that was
are.
Pretty quickly. I took one look and I went, oh, man.
But it did cause you to get more of an answer sometimes in areas because you would... be having paragraphs written about your behavior.
Right.
And so this one has less of that, but a 12-page evaluation isn't an evaluation. I mean, it's kind of like an audit of, wait, your tooth was out of place. You need braces. No, I just...
it was confusing because you'd have similar type questions in different categories. And like, is this a psyche eval? Right. What is this thing?
Right. Making sure I think that.
Yeah.
And so what's the intention of this form? Is this for every employee that the county has?
Yeah.
For department heads?
And so it's a standardized form across the whole county.
Right. I mean, even into the sheriff's office. And
The sheriff actually does something a little different because they have some specialty stuff for them.
Right.
And they used to never do evaluations at all under the previous administration, very rarely, which is really bad to never do evaluations.
They have an FTEP program they do under initial hire where
they
have a daily observation report.
Right.
And that daily observation report, essentially when you start, you're at all ones because you can't get anything right. And then by the time you, you're either making it as employee, you're at all threes, and okay, we're ready to release you out on your own kind of thing. And you have phases in that. But then after that, And I don't even know that they were officially keeping those either. And then we had some employees that had never got certified. They had not been evaluated in 10 years.
So the current sheriff does a very good job of the daily observations, and then he wanted something that was more law enforcement specific, and I said, as long as you're doing them, that's a bit vast improvement on that.
Yeah, that we need to have something.
Do these mostly stay in that department, or?
No, they send them over and they go in the personnel file.
They come up to the commissioner's office, or
no,
they go to HR?
They go to HR.
But they could be looked at in the past, you know, if you wanted to.
I usually, like, our office doesn't look at every single one, but we do spot audits to make sure, hey, what are people doing? And sometimes I'll see stuff that, like, I know employee X has had some disciplinary issues or some performance issues, and the evaluation isn't reflective of that, and I'll go back to the director and say, hey, and do some training on how to do evaluations. And
okay. I think I understand.
Good to go?
Mm-hmm.
Good to go.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I don't think you have to go to Williams.
And usually forms, I never take forms to the commissioners, but being that this is a standardized form to evaluate,
the
this
whole
is
county.
Why it's come to
the a policy, essentially. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right, up next, we're going to bring Jason Roberts up for a fair booth briefing under board business.
All right. Hello. Thank you all for having me.
Good morning. I saw this printout of yours, and what a robust schedule. We used to have two-hour shifts, and you'd have 500 employees go through in two-hour shifts. And I'm looking at a couple names going, holy mackerel.
Yes, it was obviously a learning experience for me, having never figured out a staff list for the board, or for the booth. But we are good. That's one of the things I wanted to go over. I have a short list. I just want to bring everyone up to speed if we have the time for it.
We're taking the time.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So just to review.
You have 30 seconds.
Start the clock.
Luckily, I used to be the micro machines guy.
So I almost actually skewed clock.
I apologize.
No, that was awesome.
So as I understand the priorities of our booth there, primary goals are to create awareness of the new logo, which it's going to be everywhere, so that'll be good, and to create awareness of our new website and URL, which I'll get to a little bit later as far as how to specifically do that.
Yeah, Recognition Specialty saw me yesterday and said, wait, did you guys want a banner? We need to get a hold of Jason.
She talked to me. We're doing something slightly different, but it should work out.
Okay.
And then secondary goals, promote the county programs, encourage dialogue with citizens, and generate goodwill toward the county. Or is that all sound?
That's always our goal to do that. Yeah.
Good encapsulation.
Fantastic. All right. For staffing, we have a total of 31 volunteers currently, and I've included, I took the liberty of including myself and the Board of County Commissioners in that total. As you can see from the list provided, we've got basically all of the slots filled, except for we could use some more help in the evenings. I'm going to keep trying to solicit, but any holes you see there, I'm going to fill personally. So we don't have any real gaps. I just haven't put my name down there because I'm planning to be there as much as I can anyway.
Okay. Just so you know, I'm on the golf cart every night from 5 to close.
Okay.
With the exception of Wednesday, which we have the weekly business session in Williams, so I have to go straight from Williams to the fair, jump on a golf cart, and I'll be there till close. And on Friday and Saturday, that's till midnight.
Okay. Wow.
So,
well, if you want to stop by anytime, please
do. I will, and I'll try to be there sooner. And one of the days, I'm going with my family.
Okay.
I got the kids next week.
Sounds like a curly fries day.
we pretty much support most of the vendors.
Yeah.
We single
the Morgan contingency does there more than that for sure.
No, but anyhow, definitely we'll stop through and stuff. But that's why I'm not signing up for those evening shifts with you because
no worries. Well, I didn't want to put you guys down here because you're all very busy. You've got busy schedules. You might need to leave to take care of county business. So basically, come by whenever you can.
About that.
But we should have at least two people on at all times for those 12 hours for 4 days. So I'm satisfied, but we could take more if you hear anybody who wants to pitch in.
Well, are you lining up the parking passes? And
so I talked to Tamara. All we'll need to do is give her a list of the names, and she'll give that to her people. They'll park them and let them into the fair to come work the booth.
Okay. Great.
All right. So in the booth itself, we've got some tables. Public Health is helping out with a lot with tables, with tablecloths. They've got some signage in there. I'm accepting signage from other departments that want to give it to me. We'll also have a TV. I'm going to have a 50-inch 4K TV in there that's going to be running a loop of county videos separated by what I'm calling bumpers, which are just quick animations featuring the logo. So that'll be a way to call attention. It'll be 30 seconds of the logo like floating into place and flying away, something like that.
Does it have wings added to
it? Just the airport one.
I'm teaching myself After Effects for this. I haven't gotten to the wings yet.
I got it to
change sizes. That's okay. Where I'm at right now.
So we're going to have a bucket for people to get motion sickness.
It should be fairly far back. It'll be a secondary, but it'll track people. They'll see the logo and say, hey, what's that? Yeah. And then when they see that, we can point them to our stickers and other swag. Handouts, I've asked all the departments that are public-facing, and even the ones that aren't, if they have any materials they want to give me, I will take all of that and display as much of it as possible, and we'll hand it out to people.
Yeah, that emergency management sign-up one was a good one.
Good.
Ricky brought by.
Oh, she brought it up here.
She did for something else.
Oh, okay.
And then I saw them, and I was like, yeah, we need those at the fair.
Yes, she's going to give those to me. Public Health has a lot of materials.
For the past.
Parks should as well.
They should.
Yeah, they just got some brand new brochures that are very nice for the parks.
I'll engage with the parks specifically.
Yeah.
And, in the past, Public Health has actually had its own booth several years of prevention and stuff like that. But where the city's booth is used to be the county's booth.
Oh, okay.
And when the county gave it up, the city took it over. So we had that double wide, and so there was a lot of room for different kind of corners of different departments.
Oh, okay.
They often highlight, for instance, what animals are for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always I want that doggy, Mommy. we don't bring the actual animals as to not overwhelm them with 15,000 people a day. Mm-hmm. But that is one of the things that we try to highlight of what animals we can get moved to the shelter. So if Laura can help you with that.
I'll reach out to Laura as well, yes.
One of the things that Public Health used to do that was really popular, and they haven't done it in a while, but they have you wash your hands with this something.
Yeah.
And then you go in this black booth, and the purple light shows you what you missed.
Oh. And that sounds dangerous.
And so it was kind of, and it was like, man, I missed that spot right there. it was kind of an educational one. Yeah. But as a kid, I remember, okay, I can get better this time. Okay, tomorrow I'll check this.
You little competitor.
Nice.
Anyhow, I know things change, but that was one of those ones that sometimes, hey, have you tried to see how good you wash your, kind of like the dentist does. Okay, chew this up and see if you brush your teeth. Oh,
wow. Okay. Well, and it'd be nice to have a follow-up of, hey, what about suggestions for next year with some of the staff or email later or whatever.
And after
because,
action
Yeah, because we want this to grow healthily into the future. So.
Will do. Yeah. So in addition to the handouts, we're also planning to do a giveaway. This was an attempt to make it a little more interactive. We have these tickets that legal has asked me not to call raffle tickets.
Okay.
So we'll hand these out. We're not asking for anybody's personal information. We're not asking for any money. But we'll take one of the tickets. They'll take the other. And what I'd like to do then is offer some sort of prize. What I'm thinking is some of our swag plus... A door prize. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking we can also then buy a water bottle or coffee, a nicer coffee bottle, put our sticker on it, and then it's a limited edition Josephine County drink container.
Right. Handcrafted.
Right. So, but to find out if they've won, they have to go to either our new website, thejosephinecounty.gov, or to our Facebook page.
Which won't be up until October, so they won't know for a couple months.
So we have the link. We're going to build a redirect page.
Okay.
So we can start putting that information out as far as next Wednesday.
Okay.
And it'll go to a page. It'll have our logo. It'll say, hey, coming soon, but click here and go to josephinecounty.co. And that's a way to drive traffic, generate interest, and at fairly low cost. I mean, a water bottle or whatnot would be...
And not any chance of compromising someone's information.
Exactly. Yeah. I talked to legal about this extensively. Yeah. We're not collecting any information. We are not...
And it's quick, too. Hey, you're in.
Yeah.
You don't have to fill out the little back.
The most I think we might ask is for somebody to put, like, their T-shirt size so that we set one away for them.
Right.
And as far as how we do that, I don't have the details. We could do one per day. We could do one grand prize. It's really up to what the board thinks.
So we don't want them to put their name and phone number on it, that we can call and say you won?
So legal said if we do that, then that becomes part of a public record, and anyone could request it and then start spamming those people.
That's questionable.
I can go back to legal.
But driving to the website's not bad. Mm-hmm. I like them coming to check.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it links it to kind of the booth, but it's kind of like, who's to say that's the ones we sent out versus they went to the store and bought the same roll? I don't know.
I hadn't thought of that, yeah.
And
it's okay. I'm
okay.
I just am kind of curious. That's curious. Show me the law that says it's public record for a department that's not a public meeting to collect information on a door prize and give it out. And if it's not in the law, then would it be better to just here you go? I don't know. It seems like it could be a lot more simpler and it doesn't have to be so complicated.
So is anything they're going to walk away with have the new website on it?
No, none of our swag items have that.
I had wanted a banner across the back of the booth that said josephinecounty.gov and then something written like coming October 19, 2019 or something like that. But
there's still time.
I don't know how you're decorating the whole thing, but that was part of the whole thing. Why'd you do a brand? Because of that.
Right. Well, and people just ask their phones now. They don't really enter the whole long address off of their business card very often because you can get there. And that's why people call me and tell me the power's out. My house because I'm called the power company.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they, oh, a local guy. Let's call him.
This is what you get for being creative with your name.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you when all the outages are. It's on my machine now.
So if we're good to move on, I have just one last item. The promotional materials we ordered, they're all coming in. The polos, they should be sewing them on Friday. The t-shirts we ordered are going to be coming in on Tuesday. Table runner should be here today, and we're going to put those on top of black tablecloths that Public Health is providing. And then the nice badge items, I think the sticker's already in, but she said to wait, and I'll get them all probably on Tuesday all together.
So yeah, there's always a setup day on Tuesday for mm-hmm. the booth before things start on Wednesday. So,
yeah, and the polos are going out to volunteers,
right? Depending on when we get them, people can either pick them up for me or just plan to change into them when they get to the fair.
Okay. Something to keep in mind is in past years we have delivered them to the departments ahead of time.
I can do that too.
Or they get them from that other department ahead of time, so they can come in their shirt. And
have the matching pants.
Correct.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can, I'll definitely make sure, as soon as I get them, I'll
be great.
To people. And then the last thing that I don't think has been firmly decided is we've got the grocery bags coming in. The per item cost works out to be about $1.75. I'm unsure if we're handing those out or if we're going to try to sell them like we're selling the shirts.
Right. My temptation.
What were they again?
The grocery sacks with the county logo on them.
I know. I just don't want to see them in the trash at the fairgrounds. But I think most people would take it and start putting stuff in it.
Yeah.
From
but
the fair.
I don't think other booths will give out a bag. Mm-hmm. And so for us to sell it, what it's going to mean is we have 500 bags left over because nobody wants to buy it. People are going from booth to booth. There's vendors that are selling things that we don't want to be competing with necessarily. It's just my first instinct of...
And it was bought with their money, so might as well give it to them.
That is true.
I mean, it went through the state. It took a serendipitous route, but it all came back.
Through your lottery dollar.
Well, all right.
For those of you who have bought a ticket, thank you.
Yeah. So giveaway.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
That was my only concern. And I know I'm one of those people that have, like, 500 reusable bags at home. And I'm like, oh, I don't need another one. Yep. That kind of thing. So,
but ours are new and cool.
They are.
Yes.
And they have a logo that it's like.
And as I understand it, the state will soon stop allowing stores to give out grocery sacks. So people either have to buy them or bring ours.
I think they're still doing paper, aren't they? think plastic ones were banned.
I don't know.
I know. I don't think it's all the way to ban. Ireland.
We had to ban
like
paper to save our trees.
Right.
And so we went to plastic. So now plastic is banned. So we should use paper.
Every 5 years, we have to do something different. Yeah.
Don't worry. Soon the hemp bags will be available.
I just don't buy more than I can carry in my arms.
And Ireland was that way. They don't offer you a bag.
Oh, okay.
You can buy one of their reusable bags. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're carrying it out like this. So don't buy more than you can carry.
Yeah.
Get a big enough shirt, you can just
I like it.
Please do me have some more. Well, that's all I had. Is there anything you'd like me to know now or any other questions?
Do you need help setting up the booth on Tuesday? I mean, what can we do to make sure that...
I've got a couple volunteers that are going to come in and help. Okay. We're going to get in, I think, even a little earlier than most other folks. So
nice, because you know a guy, right?
I know somebody at the fairgrounds. Yeah.
So in years past, yes. We always give a fair admission and a parking pass mm-hmm. to whoever's volunteering so they can park in the general parking and come in and at the booth and work.
Okay.
And you said they were doing some list version?
So when I asked Tamara about it, she said give her a list of all of our 31 volunteers and they will be able to park and get into the fair.
Okay.
Will that work or do we need to be...
No, that's fine as long as...
I guess it's her call.
It wasn't VIP parking for the general workers. It was general parking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that was... If you volunteered to work your shift, we made sure you could get in.
Right.
I mean, and they do that for vendors, too. Vendors who buy a spot get passes to get in.
Yeah. Well, at the city, they handed out passes, but mm-hmm. I think it's Tamara's call since she's the new
she's
director.
She's the boss, yep. Yeah.
I'll confirm with her, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, because that's less stuff moving around, too, if it's just a list.
Yeah. And I asked her, I said, what are we doing with commissioners? That are doing your stuff, because this is what they did last year. Oh, okay. So
there'll be a magic list.
Yep.
Got it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Looks good. Thanks for doing that.
You're welcome.
You're going to make him look good, my man.
I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a good fair.
All right. Awesome.
Yes.
The board discussed on Tuesday notifications.
Yes.
And agendas and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we want it routed through Annette.
Perfect.
So if you could work with her, if individual departments have given you distribution lists for mm-hmm. individual committees and such, if you guys could coordinate, because we'd like that streamlined and
all to hit the same base.
Yeah, and the way I kind of envisioned it is we have a media group, and the other thing I realize we need to make sure that is in there is like the courts, the city, different kind of partners that mm-hmm. also need to be notified. But then we have an Ivy Airport, and we just keep those ones individually. So the news one goes on every one, and then mm-hmm. we just switch whichever group it's going to that hasn't, so then you don't have to redo the media 20 times. You just have it in one, and you just, since we can build group addresses or something, but I don't know. trying to see. But for consistency, since it is our stuff, we figured let's keep it going through there. So if anyone's routing stuff to you, say, hey, thanks, and that's going to mm-hmm. and just CC and get him going. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
And have a good day.
Great.
And you. Matters from commissioners. I skipped other business.
I figure
we can come back to it. And I don't really know what other business is other than matters from commissioners, because under both, if we had to take action or make a decision, we kind of do. So I just kind of went to matters from commissioners if that's okay.
I'm all right with that. Looks like a bookmark to hold it open in case there is an emergency something, but...
Yeah. I had
something. Since we don't use it very often.
True. And I had asked, and it actually recently only changed. It used to come last, and so recently got flopped to before, so it's not set there for a reason. We can move it as we need it to. But I did get a call yesterday, and I said I'd bring this up today. They are going to have a celebration of life for Harold Haugen on September 5th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the fairgrounds. And they wanted to make sure the commissioners were all invited. And one of the things that I wondered is, would the BCC endorse allowing staff to attend?
It's a weekday?
It is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, September 5th from 2 to 4 p.m. So generally, if somebody wants to attend a funeral, they got to take PTO time off and go. I don't know how many staff would want to attend or have worked here long enough that would want to do that, but I
think it'd be appropriate considering the longest serving commissioner.
Yeah, I wanted to make a motion that the BCC would endorse staff attending without having to use PTO if the BCC would endorse.
I would.
Okay. And with your blessing, I would send out an email notification. And they were wondering if we do know how many staff and commissioners are coming, that we can let them know, because they want to get light refreshments or something. It's just the family paying for it, so trying to get an idea of numbers.
Sure.
But it's not every day that you have someone who served five terms as a commissioner.
No, he definitely had an impact on this community, so that's due respect in my mind.
Okay, and then I don't know when the right time to bring this up. Maybe it would be legal, maybe now, but I got the response back from the USDA, which is U.S. Forest Service, on the Upper Briggs Restoration Project and our letter of objection, and a couple things came up in it that we need to respond in the times listed for response, but also our format was not in the right format as they asked for. So I'm not sure, I couldn't tell if ours was included. I had no idea they had 53 objections to that NEPA project that they responded to, and they chose an objection. So I wanted to make sure that we had this and pass along if you want to read all his responses to the individual objections. But I didn't see if, I didn't, in my glancing through, I read the first ones thoroughly, and then I less thoroughly, and skimmed the back, and I didn't see ours in there. So it something just to consider of, I've asked that we be on the, make sure we're on the notification on the front end. And I'm not sure what to do about the format, so I'll follow up, just say, okay, how do I make sure we have this in the right follow-up next time? What was that? Because I didn't see it. But I want to, when you get feedback back on how you submit something, you want to make sure to
respond to it, yeah.
This specifically says, as for your objection, eligibility to object is based on submitting comments during one of our designated comment periods. In order to ensure that you are an eligible objector, please make note of those time frames and ensure your comments are submitted in a timely manner and through the appropriate inbox. In addition, I noted that your objection was not submitted via any of the methods that we requested. In order to ensure that your objection is received and is considered, please note the requested methods in the future, as our objection inbox addresses will change and could vary between projects depending on the designated objection review officer.
So what, we mailed it to them instead of emailed it through a certain portal?
I'm not sure what we did.
Yeah.
But I just, they made a point to let us know that we didn't do it in the time frame nor in the format they asked. And I know if we ask for a bid or something like that and it's not in the proper format or in the proper submission, we reject them.
Sure, it's not a qualified bid.
One other item I had, Sunday I head up to Clackamas County where they're having the annual board retreat for the AOC board. One of the big topics is dues. And essentially, they had a finance committee evaluating where we are with dues. And there was a long time that we had dues of the association stagnant because we understood the economy was hurting and everything else like that. But where it is right now is they are, by the end of next year, going to be in the negative if they don't make an adjustment. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be presenting changes and assessments of dues. And there are different dues that are mandatory and different dues that are voluntary. And I think at some point we probably need a more thorough conversation as a board on those and what they are. And I am going to try to get more specific detail as to what those are so we can have that conversation.
Yep.
And so...
Any news on the interim director position?
So I am on the hiring committee, as so they selected the district chairs to be the selection committee, and Jim Daugherty as the incoming president. So he's the first vice chair this year out of Morrow County. He is the co-chair with George Murdoch, and George sent out a memo that's we just received while I was in this meeting, actually. And there's a questionnaire that they're asking us to fill out as part of the packet for the board to give feedback on what we're looking at for hiring. And I am trying to see if I can find that so I can make sure to get feedback from you. The pages of dues are really, really long. Sorry, the packet's 104 pages long. So I can forward it to you if you want to scroll through and see if you can find the questions. But was that it? Here we go. They are defining the scope of work. Page 94, it looks like it starts, of the 112 packet. That I will email you, but that is just them kind of talking about the company we picked and the
that was picked for the company?
RFP. Yeah. And so then after that, I don't. Let's see. Hold on. I'm trying to cut it down so you don't have to do so much. I'm scrolling. I really, literally got this as we were sitting here, so I haven't had time to look
That's
at it.
That's why I asked. I felt it come in.
You did.
So are we...
Page 112 of 112. Just right skip end. Right to the end. Questions are, what skill sets are particularly important for your next executive director to possess? What experience levels are you looking for? There's different questions there, so if you have any feedback, can you take a look at that, and sure. I will make sure to take our hopes up there. So, the whole board's going to weigh in on it, but I want to make sure I've asked you ahead of time.
Sure.
So, I will forward both these emails to you and Dan. And
do we still have an interim director?
Yeah, we do. Okay. We do. And I've heard that things have kind of changed, and he is going to apply, I think.
Oh.
And so I haven't heard anything else. I really try not to be in the rumor mills. I don't think they're productive. Yeah. And it's kind of one of those things that I had somebody say that to me yesterday, that there was a project we were working on, and I had stepped out of the room, and apparently somebody said something, and I'm like, well, why don't you say that when she's in the room? And exactly. It's like, how do we be as productive as we can? If we're getting the full information, then we can respond appropriately. So,
sure.
Anyhow, so I will be up there Monday and coming back as quickly as possible. Or I go up Sunday. There's an evening meeting, and there's a membership meeting while we're up there, too. So, but I will forward both these emails about the board packet so you see what I am looking at. I came onto the board this year for the first time. The last year's Commissioner Hare was on the board. And, you know, you kind of, you hear about board decisions, but if you weren't on the board, you had no say, you know. And so kind of like you've dealt with.
Yes.
Previous boards have said something here, and now we're dealing with the outcome. And so it's really a learning curve. And
yep.
I was on a legislative committee last year, but this is my first year on the board. And that's really where the finances and some of these other decisions are made. And one of the things that's been challenging, for instance, is they, last year, when we knew we were going to be needing a permanent role, they said, let's budget for the recruitment. And they set money aside to budget. But they didn't say up front, we're going to recruit externally. Had they said, we're setting aside the money and we will do an external recruitment, we encourage internal candidates to apply, we get a year later and they have that discussion all over again.
Right.
And
a new board.
Yeah, yeah. So, and the outcome was the same. So it was like, okay. But you can't change past boards. You get the information as you get it, and you try to make the best information with it and work forward and go from there. So,
sure.
I also just want to point out that all the commissioners in District 4 with AOC got an email about any topics for our September 4th meeting. That's not the date. October 4th meeting in Curry County. Just wanted, in case you need to see that. Or
there's some dates moving on other stuff, too, that can't remember what, but what the Crown Dinner got canceled with So Ready.
Oh,
their board meeting next week got canceled. I got an email.
They just sent out an email. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I saw it on my phone last night.
Sent out a survey email.
A survey email. And do we want to send that out to staff? Do we want to put that on Facebook? Or how?
I would suggest you... any and all avenues you want to forward that to. I was already formulating some lists of people I wanted to send it to, but I hadn't thought of staff. But it is for our regional economic development plan, so I think it's important that people get all their opinions out there.
Okay.
Because it's a big deal. It's going to be a really productive thing. This Southern Oregon assessment. So
the more feedback we get into it, but I almost think that it's something we need to support on our Facebook pages, even a website link. If we want to participate in it, then do we endorse it and promote it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm going to dig through all my emails and send them to everybody I can imagine. But that's a great idea to give it.
Okay.
A window on the website.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And we did get a time agreed upon for Friday?
Yes.
Okay.
Was it 9 or 11?
11.
Okay.
11 to 1.
I got one email that said 9, but then everything else...
It changed. Left. Yes. That's why I was double-checking this morning.
But it steps on something, an SOS meeting, but I think that's okay.
Do you object to us trying to get access to the old jail and the basement down there and getting some tours and kind of assessing and looking through things for the facility stuff?
No problem. I went down there when I first got this job. But
cool.
I have different eyes now, 6-month-old eyes.
I bet it would look different now if you lived down
it
there.
It would.
I honestly would. I think the commissioner should have access to all areas.
Right, except for wherever we shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's someone's legal office or something.
Yeah.
Or the DA's office, I would understand that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, and like for me, I had one of the departments send me a CJIS test that I redid so I can have my CJIS clearance continued, you know, and stuff like that. So it's like,
because
they do that for outside vendors that come in there. And also, if you don't have CJIS clearance, it means you have to be escorted through secure areas.
So if you get clearance, can you escort me?
I have clearance.
Okay. well, and I think our cards should open a lot of doors. Wherever, even if I just want to look in a stupid storeroom or something.
Yeah.
It would seem appropriate.
I agree, and I would endorse you sending an email saying that.
I love it. Well, I wonder who I'd ask to do
that. Put it on my list.
To facilities, I guess, basically.
Yeah,
unless
there's a legal reason for us not to, I think we should be able to.
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to send an email to them asking. I did go and meet personally with Connie and Eve yesterday to give them a heads up about that we're going to be just assessing the facility, and I don't know if I officially asked, but I would ask that we ask any further movement in the building to stop until we actually have a plan, because right now we had one department head making a decision to start moving another department without it going through the board, and what if the plan recommendation that we approve is different?
Is opposite, yeah.
And so I would ask that until we actually have a plan and options have been presented to us and we work with our partners with the courts and departments and get that feedback, we're asking Annette to get a kind of a survey of what are your needs, what are your what's unique to your department, what do we need to keep in mind, who do you need to be near.
If you got your hopes and dreams, what would it look like?
Correct. And and so if we're piecemealing and moving people in the meantime, and then it's like, what do we just do?
No, that could lead to missteps. So.
And I also talked to Cecilia from DA's office yesterday, who is kind of their administrative manager. And they're, I mean, she's been, what, 30, 35 years with the county now? And she was the same feeling of, what's going on here? You know, and right. So, but I wanted Eve and Connie to hear from us before it was a rumor mill. And say that there's nothing decided on. We're asking for options to be presented back. We want to get feedback and do it right. Yep. And they both appreciated the heads up, and they both will be the points of contact for you. And Cecilia with the DA's office would be a good point of contact as well. Not that Ryan's not, but just add Cecilia. And then I'm meeting with Trina from the courts today to give her a heads up. And I think probably she should be a part of the conversations with the committee as well, because of what a big impact it'll have. And overall, the facilities, they don't have a voting say per se, but they do are impacted by it. But I just want to make sure that I didn't want people hearing, hey, something's going on, the commissioners are making decisions, and they didn't have it. So
they had no input from.
And I'll get a hold of Peter today and give him a heads up. But otherwise, the electeds have been told.
Very good.
Awesome. Okay, I don't think I have anything else to...
No, I took a tour of Life Flight.
Oh, how was
facilities
that?
In Medford. Mercy Flight, excuse me. That's right. Mercy Flights, of whom I'm a member.
Of their air or their ground?
Both. Well, no, just of the air.
Okay.
Yep. The ground.
How much is that a year?
It's less than $100.
Because I just renewed my AMR one yesterday, but I was curious about the...
Yep. And I got to see their fleet, their operations, their dispatch center, as well as their air fleet. They just bought two new, one helicopter, one fixed wing plane, that were very impressive. And they got new hangars built and their own fueling. They've really got a nice operation. And I was also pleased to hear that it's a nonprofit.
Oh.
That I did not know. That they are doing it as a public service, and therefore there's no shareholders to pay, and therefore their rates stay lower, substantially lower than private companies. And they're one of the only ones in the U.S. that have a private or a nonprofit instead of a for-profit model. And so I think Jackson County is very happy with the service they're giving them. And it was a local company. It's staffed by local folks. There's guys that have been there for 25, 30 years that worked their way up and are now the CEOs. And it is just a really impressive local business. And so I encourage them to contact you and Dan, and if you get a chance to go look at that facility.
I've had an opportunity to get to know the CEO, or I'm not sure what his title is, but I found him to be a neat person.
Yeah, very professional, and just interested locally. You know, his kids went to school here, so it's not like they bring someone else from somewhere else to run this here. No.
Now, I know one of their pilots is one of our local...
Yeah.
Kid of local, you know. And,
right.
And it's like, oh, that's so cool that there's a job path for our kids locally that is making a difference. So
I wanted to try and get him in contact with Caleb
and
get some of the Air Academy candidates a tour to see another avenue of career possibilities, that you could be a paramedic that would be in the ambulance from one hospital and then hop right on the plane. The same crew goes all the way to another ambulance sitting in Portland and gets them from bed to bed.
Yeah.
One crew, so that the health of that person is the most important thing, and you don't lose any gaps by trading crews. So that was pretty cool, and I think that would excite a
which is what the whole young person.
I know, right? Which we briefly talked about.
Yeah. Wow. All right, cool. I'm glad you did that. That I haven't done that yet, but I literally just yesterday was asking about memberships and stuff like that. Anyway.
Yep.
Okay, well...
especially with our county being as rural as it is in some areas, those helicopters are critical to get people. And if you're not a member, it can be very expensive. Very expensive.
There was one other thing. Our local AMR operations manager attended our meeting yesterday and afterwards made a recommendation of a contract change that we're submitting.
Right.
And
different to what was in the last
iteration? Yeah, one of the things that we were saying to change, he's saying, I don't think you should. And they are who asked for the change initially, and that was changing the mileage that the vehicles can go.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lower mileage count, and we were going to raise
it. From 250 to 280 or something?
275, yeah. And he's suggesting from our side we may not want to make that change.
Hmm.
So I am being cautious of what I say, but I think he's wise in what he's recommending. So...
well, that sounds like it moves in our favor.
So. It actually does. Yeah. He was looking out for us.
Yeah.
So if you don't object, I'll let Wally know.
No, I'm good with that. I don't think Dan would have a strong objection either, but I wouldn't want to speak for him.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else we need to cover?
No, ma'am.
Awesome. So going into Fair Week, looking forward to it.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
All right, so with that, we're adjourned at 10:11.